Seeing the city, Jesus wept over it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel is set in Palm Sunday, when triumphant shouts of the Hebrew children were still ringing in his ears. Jesus saw from the Mount of Olives the impressive skyline of the holy city of Jerusalem. Now in the foreground he sees the temple, and beyond it Golgotha, where he will soon die on the cross. And seeing Jerusalem, we read that Jesus wept over it. Why does he cry over this marvelous sight? The city itself was prospering, and the temple had recently been restored to the great magnificence by Herod the Great, and was of shining marble and glittering with gold. But Jesus wept over it, because this beautiful city, the city of kings and prophets, would soon be destroyed. Our world, magnificent as it is, has also recently seen lots of sorrow and destruction. In the past weeks, tears have been shed too over the numerous people whose lives have been cut short by acts of violence in Iraq, France, Turkey, and USA. There have been plenty of occasions, although few correct answers given, to the questions why these things happen. But the followers of Christ know the correct answer. These things happen because of the pride of God's creatures, and because of original sin and rebellion against God. Pride and sin are the ruin of both temporal and eternal happiness. As Solomon writes, "What hath pride profited us? Or what commodity hath the vaunting of riches brought us? All those things are passed away as a shadow, and as a messenger running before, and as a ship that passeth through the surging waters, whereof, when it is past, the trace cannot be found, nor the path of that ship's keel in the waves." The evil happenings of the past weeks should again give us a grave lesson how fragile life is, and how important it is to the followers of Christ to know their last end, and then also to live life according to the will of God. To emphasize this, I want to tell you today about the saint of today, Saint Alexis, because he is a great model of putting one's eternal happiness before the temporal one. Saint Alexis was the only son of a rich senator of Rome who lived in the 5th century. His parents were model Catholics, and from them he learned the great example of charity. He learned how the worldly possessions might be great temptations to evil, and that the riches which are given away to the poor are a treasure transferred to heaven with an interest of an immense reward. The more Saint Alexis thought of God and heaven, the more he despised all earthly things. Since he lived in such a wealthy family, he started to be afraid. He was afraid that the temptations, or at least the distractions, which the riches give to the human heart, might divide his necessary attention to God. So he started to entertain thoughts of renouncing the world and its riches altogether. When it was time for him to marry, his parents chose him a rich and virtuous girl as spouse. Being a dutiful son, Alexis obliged to the marriage. But before the marriage was consummated, he finally made his decision to enter the more perfect state. he obtained his newly wedded wife's permission to leave her, and in disguise he traveled to Syria and lived in great poverty near a church of Our Lady, doing charity work in a hospital. One day, after 17 years of poverty and charity work, a picture of Mary spoke to tell the people that this beggar was very holy and called him the man of God. Alexis became famous, but that was the last thing he wanted, so he fled back to Rome. He came as a beggar to his own home. His parents did not recognize him, but they were very kind to all poor people, and so they let him stay there in their home. And there, in a corner under the stairs, Alexis lived another 17 years. He used to go out only to pray in church and to teach little children about God. The servants of his parents were often very cruel to him, and though Alexis could have ended all these sufferings just by telling his father who he was, he chose to say nothing. After Alexis died, his family found a note on his body which told them who he was and how he had lived his life of penance from the day of his wedding until then, all for the love of God. The charity Saint Alexis had shown to the children and to the sick did not end to his death. In the medieval times, laymen established an order to take care of the sick, and they took Saint Alexis as their patron. For this they were called the Alexian Brothers. Their object was to attend the sick, those stricken by pestilence in times of epidemics, bury the dead, especially during the Black Death, and direct insane asylums, and take care of the houses of correction of children. They wore a black habit with a scapular, hood, and mantle of the same color, and recited daily the office of the Holy Cross. Dear faithful, doing penance is something very essential to a follower of Christ. It is not something inclusive only to Lent, which should be the time of extra penance. Solomon again writes, "If we do not penance, we shall fall into the hands of our Lord and not into the hands of men." It cost very much to Saint Alexis to seek humiliations, so how much more we should make use every occasion to do our share of penance. And how many occasions we do have, since times have really changed a little since our Lord's times. In today's Gospel, in the temple of God, over whom Jesus had just wept over, he saw how it had been transformed into an oriental bazaar, more of a local shopping center than a place of worship. Furious at the sight, Jesus exploded into anger and drove away the dealers and money changers from the temple. And how did Jesus justify his actions? By quoting the scriptures, "That my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." As people had just greeted him with shouts of joy, they were also happy to see the greedy merchants driven away. But it is easy to imagine that as soon as Jesus left the area, business resumed pretty much as usual, and, as can be said, tend to stay that way through the centuries. St. Louis de Montfort was deeply concerned how disrespectfully the Catholics acted inside and outside the church, and how they rebelled against God by impure language and dress. So much so that he once wrote a hymn named "Outrages Against the Sacred Heart," where he said that even Turks in their mosques practice modesty, respect, and attention. As for us, what disorder! Our Lord's tears were not tears of self-pity, nor did he cry because Jerusalem was to be destroyed. His tears were rather for the people of that city. Jesus wept to see his grace and his message of salvation rejected. He was not crying for the great walls of Jerusalem, soon to be reduced to dust and ashes, but for the sake of the souls which would perish together with this great city. This was the reason why he said during his passion, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not upon me, but weep upon yourselves and upon your children." It was also for the sake of danger of losing his soul that Saint Alexis decided rather to flee the riches of his home city, the great Rome, than to remain there amidst its riches and its temptations. How much in opposition is the world with this spirit of holiness? The people concerned with worldly things and riches, they cry when they should not to, and remain untouched about the things of religion, which should be their greatest concern. And sadly, oftentimes Christians are not much better. We grieve immensely, for example, at the loss of a lawsuit, or our job, or the perishable goods or riches. But so often we are lukewarm about sin, which gains us the loss of God's friendship, which is the greatest of all losses. The bodily death of a near relation, or a child, or the best friend, often pushes many of us inconsolable, while the danger of spiritual death of our own souls or that of our neighbor lying in the grave of mortal sin makes little or no impression to us. Dear faithful, it is through the example of the saints who attacked human pride with humility where we see the hope, the only hope and answer to this world's problems. Obedience to God appears very unattractive to the eyes of modern man. They want to cast off the burden and enjoy their liberty. But God has ordered that his creation must practice humility and obedience. Much like Saint Alexis, who was afraid that his passions might take over him, we need to be conscious how weak we are. Most of the young people outside of faith must learn from bitter experience that we are all servants in one way or another. Everyone needs to live in subjection all life long, whether he likes it or not, for this has been the lot of everyone who has ever lived on earth. So, dear faithful, what does Jesus see when he looks at your soul? Does he find it shining with grace, the doors wide open to receive him, the windows and floors cleansed from all the dirt of sin? It is eternally important to each of us that he should not weep when he looks at us. If we grow used to being disobedient to him in little things, we will eventually end up disobeying him mortally. And notice that the only time when Saint Alexis went outside his cell, except for Holy Mass, was when he was teaching children their catechism. So Catholics must teach the spirit of obedience to God to their children as well. When I was on my vacation, I refreshed some of the childhood stories I used to read, and one of them told about a very cruel and disobedient girl who stepped on a loaf so as not to soil her shoes, and all the misfortunes that befell her in consequence. And her mother told her these grave words of warning: "As a child, you have often trampled on my apron. I fear when you are grown up, you will trample on my heart." As Saint Alexis well knew, pride always remains, even for the pious Christians, a great enemy against which one must continually fight. By our tears, that is, penance, we should cleanse the temple of our soul, like our Lord did in today's Gospel, so that when Jesus looks at our soul, he would not find reason to weep over it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.